New Orleans signed CJ Spiller for something other than sitting on the fucking bench.
31 other passes that should have been intercepted with you.
So that's why I have David Johnson on my board higher.
If you're doing a live draft, wait till you're drunk to draft this guy. We welcome you to the Fifth Down.
What up, Fifth Downers? This is Johnny Slokes, and you're listening to the Fifth Down Fantasy Football Podcast. Got my special buddy Rico Suave on the other line to help me out. We're doing a special little show called the Late Season Blues, episode 45. You can catch us on iTunes. Please, if you feel free to leave us a rate and review. We've been getting some love lately. We're also on Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio. Rico, man, what's up?
Hey, Johnny, how's it going, man? Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking the other day, and you're bringing up some concerns about, you know, league management. So I thought, you know what? I'm sure a lot of other people are experiencing what you're going through, so why not bring it to light and let's bring it out in the air and talk about it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. We've all got different ways of thinking about things, so what's right, what's wrong, what's ethical, what's not. And it'll be interesting to talk and get some different opinions and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Before we jump into things, there's a couple of news notes, not a whole lot, just a couple of players I want to mention that you should probably monitor going into Thursday. You know, obviously Andrew Luck, concussion protocol, I don't think he's going to play. I know Devontae Adams was able to do it on a Thursday night, but everyone reacts differently to concussions, so, I mean, We'll get into the Indianapolis situation a little bit later on in the show. Theo Riddick, he was limited in today's practice. That's pretty much been the norm since he injured his ankle, so I don't really think you have to worry about him too much. But, you know, one guy you do have to worry about is Stephon Diggs. He missed practice today. It's a short week. It's with a knee injury. Early reports saying he could miss Thursday, the Thanksgiving game against Detroit. And what do you think about that?
I think it's huge if he can't go for Minnesota. I think he's their best offensive playmaker right now. And if he can't go, they've got... Yeah, I mean, the running game's been awful, as everybody that follows football knows. The offensive line has been decimated by injuries. After a first few weeks of Sam Bradford looking like a really solid quarterback, he's kind of come back down to earth, and he's shown that he's average at best. They've got Kyle Rudolph, who's having a solid season. He's a good red zone target, but if they've got no Stephon Diggs, who are they going to throw the ball to? Adam Thielen? I mean, no disrespect to him, but he's not. He gets decent targets, but, you know.
It's interesting you brought him up, though. You know, when Stephon Diggs missed week 5, he actually had a pretty good stat line. I think it was like 5 for 119 with a touchdown, and he does get to go against Detroit, but. I mean, you really got to worry about it because, you know, Detroit's defense has been looking a little bit better lately, you know?
Yeah.
They're starting to get a little bit healthier.
They've allowed less than 20 points in their last 4 games. Their defense still concerns me. They get gashed by running backs at times. They still are a little bit weak at defending tight ends. The pass rush hasn't been great, but they come up with key plays in key situations.
Yeah, I've been streaming tight ends against them all year.
Yeah. And it's always a good strategy. I think they've given up 9 touchdowns to tight ends this season. But back to your original question, if Stephon Diggs doesn't play, I don't think there's anybody on Minnesota's team worth starting in this matchup. And I think it's a huge blow as far as Minnesota's chances to win the game go. Because I think Minnesota's offense is already one-dimensional. You remove Stephon Diggs, and how are they going to move the ball?
I mean, Stephon Diggs was not only their passing game, he was kind of like their running game, too. They used to use him on a lot of those short little passes towards the line of scrimmage, kind of like what the Lions are trying to do with Golden Tate, but they are also working him in with a crossing route over the middle, too, you know? So that's what was bringing his value so high.
I think if Stephon Diggs doesn't play, you could put Darius Slay one-on-one on Adam Thielen, and then you could put Nevin Lawson on their number 2 receiver, and just have those 2 guys play them man-to-man.
Lawson's having a pretty Lawson's had a pretty impressive season, actually. A lot of people were saying he was going to be a liability, but yeah, I think he's actually probably been their best corner this year. I think he's only given up like 40 yards a game, one touchdown on the season.
His man-to-man skills are very underrated. If he can't play, I feel like the Lions corners can just play one-on-one on the outside, and then they can just put eight in the box, and they can just blitz, and they can just do whatever they want. I don't think the Lions will respect their passing game at all without Stephon Diggs.
Has got to teach him about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is that a hot dog?
Don't worry about it.
Did you build a toilet kitchen?
I added a kitchen to an already existing toilet.
Is that a pocket dog?
Yeah, this is a pocket dog. What's in the toilet is a dump dog. I got hot dogs coming and going, buddy.
You're like a disgusting meat straw, Rafi.
That is maybe the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Some in-season problems that you've noticed. This is your chance to, you know, stand on your soapbox and raise your issues. What are some issues that you've noticed in your league of record? Are you, you said you're the commissioner in one of your leagues?
I am.
What are some issues that you've noticed?
It's only the only league. I'm only in one league. And I am. It was interesting. Before the season started, I set a rule that, you know, it would be fair if we all wanted to veto a trade, we would all vote and veto it. And if there was a tie, the league manager, which is me, could just automatically veto the trade. In the case of a tie, league manager decides. In this case, also, the league manager can veto any trade at any time, even without the majority rule. That was the way it was set up. So, a guy in my league, who I believe he was 6-4 at the time, and he was in, I think, either the fourth or fifth seed going into the playoffs. He had a couple of really unfortunate losses, and his team is stacked, man. He's got Ezekiel Elliott, A.J. Green, Aaron Rodgers, and DeMarco Murray. So he's got a lot of stud star power on his team. He just had a couple of unfortunate losses.
Yeah,
and
but a lot to do with, like, strength of schedule.
Yeah, he played somebody and their guys just went off, or, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
But he has the most points in the league by like 250 points. So the dude like consistently scores 170, 180 points a week, and we're in a PPR league, so there's, you know, the points totals are inflated. But anyways, there's another person in my league who's, we've played 11 games. He's 3-8, and he's lost like 7 games in a row. He's eliminated from playoff contention. And he was just going to give away. He was just going to give away Julio Jones and Alshon Jeffrey to this guy who already has a stack team for nothing, because he's out. What does he care? And these dudes are bros.
What was the exact trade?
The exact trade was, it was Carson Palmer. So the guy that's 6-4 was going to get Carson Palmer, Julio Jones, and Alshon Jeffrey, who, as we know, is suspended, but
yeah,
He'll be back in time for the playoffs.
Yeah.
And could you imagine at the time, this is before A.J. Green got hurt, but could you imagine having your 1, 2, and 3 as Julio Jones, A.J. Green, and Alshon Jeffrey? In addition to having...
I think a lot of the trade probably had to do with the fact that maybe A.J. Green went down, too.
Well, this was before A.J. Green went down.
Oh.
And this is to add to already having Ezekiel Elliott, DeMarco Murray, and Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. So he would have been untouchable. And his friend was just going to give him these guys. And he was going to give up Steve Smith Sr. He's going to give up Steve Smith Sr., Matt Ryan, and Pierre Garçon, who... No offense to Steve Smith Sr. and Pierre Garçon, they're not bad players, but they're nowhere near on the level Julio Jones and Alshon Jeffrey. And he could afford to give up Matt Ryan because he's already got Aaron Rodgers. So
yeah,
I was like, I felt like, you know what? I'm not even going to leave this up to a veto. I'm just going to use my league managers and just veto this outright because this is collusion. He's going to rip off the rest of the league. Like, if he gets Julio Jones and Alshon Jeffrey for nothing, really, and he just is allowed to go into the playoffs with that, he's gonna walk away with it. He's not gonna, no one's gonna be able to beat him, and this isn't right. So I vetoed it, of course.
I'll be the first to admit that I'm not a big guy on vetoing trades. I feel like, you know, someone makes a trade and they're able to hustle a player away from another guy, then it should happen. But under certain circumstances like that, where it's obvious collusion, you need to, yeah, those are the kind of trades that do get vetoed. And I mean, a team that's like 3-8 has no business even making trades at this point in the season. That's just my honest opinion.
And that's how I feel.
It should be like an unwritten rule in your league that, you know, hey, once you're out of playoff contention, your team's locked off in trades.
Because the guy who I vetoed his trade, he tried, you know, he got very upset with me, and he tried explaining his actions by saying, well, I'm making his team better. His team's getting better off this trade. How's it unfair? You can't really tell me this guy's team's getting better when he's eliminated from playoff contention. Like, yeah, your team's getting better.
What does it matter if his team gets better? He's done.
Yeah, he's got 3 wins, and there's only 2 games left. The best he gets finished is 5-8, and that's not getting you in the playoffs. You can't make a team better that's getting no playoffs.
What do you think would be, like, a possible solution to this issue?
So, I'll tell you what happened next. After AJ Green got hurt, he tried to submit a different trade, a more fair trade. He was going to give up Aaron Rodgers and Amari Cooper in exchange for Julio Jones and Carson Palmer. And I vetoed that one, too.
Well,
he got really upset.
3-8.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I was like, this trade's a lot better. I told him that, but I was like, I don't agree with what you're doing. You're just scavenging great players from bottom feeders. There's no way you can justify that to me. And of course, he got all upset, and the rest of the league got upset.
Yeah. As a commissioner, you know, you gotta be stern, and you gotta set the bar. Like, hey, listen here, motherfucker. The trade's not going through. The guy's team's out of contention. You have no business trading with him. If you want to do a similar trade with a team that is in contention for that, that's fine, you know.
Yeah.
Another way to alleviate this issue is before the season even starts, have yourself, you know, a league constitution stating the rules, like right there. And that way, if he wants to gripe and complain about it, be like, look, you knew the constitution going in. It's right here. It's written black and white. You know what the rules are. That's another way you could alleviate it.
These are future things. This is, like you said, Johnny, definitely next year moving forward, things that I can do to make things better. Good ideas that I can put out to whoever I'm playing with so that these type of situations don't arise.
That's what this show is going to be about. So,
yeah.
Another question for you that I have is, what would you do in a situation where someone's asking for their money back at this point in the year?
Tell them no. Because everybody's in the league playing for that pot.
Exactly. I agree with that. What if he gets pissed off that you tell him no, and then he just starts dropping players at will on purpose?
He starts doing what to players at will?
Just dropping them. Just
To affect the integrity of the league, like dropping like Le'Veon Bell into the free agent pool so someone else can just get him?
Yeah, stuff like that. I mean, obviously there's going to be some players that are considered undroppable where, the like ESPN and Yahoo won't let you drop certain players, but there's still a lot of good players that you can drop.
Yeah. Well,
what would you do if he started doing that?
What can you really do? I mean, I wouldn't give him his money back, first and foremost. But if somebody decides they want to be bitter and just drop people because they lost and they can't handle it, there's really nothing you can do to stop them. I mean, they're going to go home. They're going to get on the internet. You can't physically stop them from doing this.
There's two things you could do.
You could just not play with them next year.
Well, I'm saying for, like, immediately what you could do is, one, you could just remove him from, you can remove his ownership from the team and find a replacement, which that's not a likely scenario. But another thing that you could do is you could also lock his team, which it's going to piss him off still, but at least, you know, you'll keep the integrity of the league.
Yeah.
That's just my two cents if something like that was to happen.
You know, before the season starts, I imagine what happens with a lot of leagues, you get like 10 to 12 guys that want to play. They're all pretty buddy-buddy. They all meet somewhere at a sports bar, at somebody's house. They get drinks. They get pizza. They're all laughing and having a good time. Everybody's drafting their team. Everybody's talking trash, saying, oh, my team's so good. Your team sucks. I'm going to win it all. Ha, 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 ha. And then midway through the season rolls around, and it's not like that anymore.
It's not looking so hot no more.
Yeah. Like, you've got like three or four guys that are contending to make a run for it. You know what else makes you mad is you get those two guys that are in your league that don't even manage their team. You know, they start guys that are on bye weeks. They don't pick up free agents. They don't do anything. They're just there.
It's cool to have all your buddies in the league, and it sounds really fun and everything. But if you do stuff like that, you will see the tendency where, you know, people will just not manage their team. Like, it happens to a lot of leagues. You got to be really careful about who you pick to be in your league. I tend to not pick people that are going to be real busy. Maybe they're unemployed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not enough. You know, I'm employed, and I put a lot of time into football.
I was making a joke.
I got it, but I don't know. I don't think you have to put that much time into fantasy football. I put a decent amount of time into it, but nothing too crazy.
So far, have you heard about any, like, wacky rules in your league, or maybe in someone else's league that you've heard about that you thought were just something crazy?
Not really. There's one in particular in my league, though. It was a rule I made just to be different. And the same person that I vetoed their trade, he's the same person that constantly complains about this rule. I made extra points for kickers, and I made it mean nothing. You get no points for an extra point. And the reason why I did it was because, you know, if everybody makes their extra points, everybody's getting 1 point. It's only 1 point. You make an extra point, you get 1 point. What do you do?
What a lot of leagues are doing is they're just completely eliminating the kicker from the game. Like, there is no kicker. There's no kicker slot. You know, like, a lot of leagues
care.
Do that.
My feelings wouldn't be hurt.
I like the idea. I hate kickers.
Nobody
hate
does any
of too.
I like how you go on like NFL.com or whatever internet pages you go to look at Stardom or Sit'em, and there's always the Stardom Sit'em section for kickers. It'll say, you know, start Dustin Hopkins because he's playing the Packers and they give up a lot of points to kickers. Like,
I got some pretty wacky stuff that I heard. Well, some of it's not really wacky to me, but it may be wacky to other people. Like I said, there's some leagues that don't use kickers or don't use defenses. It's just, instead of having a kicker or a defense, maybe they have three flex positions. There's actually one league where I play in where you start two receivers, two running backs, but yeah, there's no starting tight end spot for you, but you can play three flexes. So you could potentially have five wide receivers, five running backs, or three running backs, three receivers, and like a tight end, or, you know, it's just a lot of different sets that you could play. You know what I mean?
That is kind of weird. It really changes how you draft your team.
Yeah. One league that I don't play in it, but someone was telling me about it. You know, they have two flex positions, and then one of the positions you have to start a rookie. It's an unwritten rule, but I think it's kind of new and different. It throws a different element to the game.
I mean, I guess if you want to try something different and spice things up, I could see why you would do it. It's just not for me, you know?
Like I said, it's a kind of like a wacky rule.
It is a wacky rule.
Have you noticed, I mean, I know we already touched on it a little bit, but have you noticed certain teams that might not be doing well that either tank or sabotage and or stop managing their team?
Nothing that I haven't already addressed.
Yeah. It's kind of a question that I wanted to ask because it kind of eases us into the next segment of the show, ways to enhance your league.
Guess what gift you don't want for Christmas this year? A non-consensual dick in your pussy, right? All of us, let's just close our eyes. Why would you close your eyes? Do you know me? P-Y-H. Protect your holes, okay? You just got to your car and a man shows up with these. What are they?
Nunchucks.
No, they are two dildos connected by a chain. And guess what, ladies? They're ribbed for your pleasure.
Oh,
okay?
God.
You think you're up against some sort of martial arts kung fu expert, but what you don't know is he has designs to put both of these inside of you. Boop, 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 boop. Pick it up, put it in your mouth a little bit. Yuggity, 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 yuggity. You guys need to be always aware, no matter where you are.
I really feel that at the ATM.
Ass to mouth.
When I'm getting money at the bank.
Oh, the bank.
You just feel like they're going to come up behind
you. Of course, you're gorgeous.
Yes, like, here I am. Oh, I'm so vulnerable.
To who?
And then I'm like, hey.
Hey, guy. Whoa. Pam, I think I see what's going on.
Oh.
When you turn around, you think men are perceiving you as a sexual being.
Yes.
Men are just shocked you're a woman.
Yeah, say to make
you
it
have,
better.
Like, yeah, like, say you have those teams that, like, tank or sabotage or stop paying attention because they're not doing well. You know, there's some ways where you could alleviate that issue. Like, one of the things that me and Jamie were talking about to keep, like, the bad teams interested in trying to play is have weekly payout for the highest score. That way there's still a way where you can win some money.
That would be pretty interesting.
Yeah, like we kind of suggested, say like it's like $100 buy-in, or maybe even like $150 buy-in. You could have like $50 a week to where it just goes to the highest score.
Or you could have some sort of, you could go the opposite way. I'm not saying that that's a bad idea. I think that's a pretty good idea. You could also go the opposite way, though, and make some sort of deterrent for finishing last. You know, like the person who finishes last has to do something really humiliating or has to give someone money or something that's a deterrent to finishing last.
There is actually this account on Twitter, Fantasy Football Tattoos. They're not permanent, but they do last. But they're like last place tattoos. They say they'll say something like, "I suck at fantasy football," and it'll be like a unicorn on a fucking rainbow.
Yeah, you know, just something that's humiliating to that person.
I kind of like a bold bet or something, like they have to do something crazy and you videotape it. You could put it on Facebook and then everyone gets to see it and laugh at them, make fun of them, humiliate them.
Yeah.
Or, you know, another way, this is probably more geared towards like if you had a league for like 3 or 4 years and it's going well and everyone keeps returning to play. Or if it's like a keeper league or something like that, have like a mega pot. What that entails is say it's $100 buy-in. Half of that money for the buy-in, you put in a separate pot, and that money will roll over to the next year. And so say it's a 12-man league, $50 a person, that's $600 that's rolling over to the next year. And it keeps on rolling over every year until someone repeats as defending champion. So say,
well, what's the odds of that happening?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Say 5 years goes by and no one wins it. It's a $3,000 pot just sitting there.
Okay.
And it also, gives you a little bit of strategy. Maybe you want to set your team up for the long run, you know. Like, hey, I can keep these two guys at a decent value, you know. Try to make a run at it. That's just another way to enhance your league, keep people coming back and making people hungry, you know.
There's always the closed-minded, most obvious response. Just pick better people to be in your league.
Yeah, that's probably one of my first suggestions would be.
But you don't know. You may think someone's cool, and then halfway through the season, they just start acting weird or bitter or.
Yeah, there's always those people. And another option that I don't really care for a whole lot because it seems kind of like a lesser thing, but having like a loser bracket playoff, like a toilet bowl. But I feel like, you know, if you wanted to keep on playing, you should have played better.
Yeah, there should definitely not be a reward for having a crappy team.
Another thing that you do is, you know, why wouldn't you want to play for a trophy, you know, like a championship trophy or maybe a championship belt, like one of those wrestling belts.
We tried to do that. I love that idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you can get your league mates to pony up the extra dough for a trophy or a belt, I mean, I think that's a great idea.
I think it's too late in the season now.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, this is just ways that you can improve your league next year, you know?
Absolutely.
I know this is one for people that might have a little bit more time on their hands. Maybe they're good at writing and doing stuff like that. They could do weekly previews and recaps of their league and write like articles about like each matchup that is happening that week. For like, between, say, like you're playing the last place team, and then you can give like projections and like stuff like that. It doesn't
you're
even
saying
have to
have
be
like...
or it doesn't even. Or it doesn't even have to be an article. It could be a video.
Or like maybe have a podcast for your league.
Yeah, basically.
That'd be pretty cool. Or you could run it and then each week have different guys from your league possibly show up on it.
Yeah,
let's face it,
I think it'd be a great idea.
Let's face it, Johnny. Most of us when it comes to fantasy football are pretty nerdy about this once the time of year comes around.
Well, I mean, you have to be a nerd if you want to be good.
Yeah. And you can see, you can just look at your league. You can look at the standings and tell who's good and who pays attention. Followed the injury report. You got to follow the injury report, because when a guy goes down, who you want to go get his replacement?
My biggest thing is every day when you wake up, check the transaction log. During lunch, check the transaction log. Before you go to bed, check the transaction log. You'll be surprised at some of the players that get dropped during the middle of the day.
Oh, yeah. One of my buddies in my league dropped Jimmy Graham, and he dropped Thomas Rawls in the beginning of the season, and I now have both of them. And they both appear to be guys that are going to really pan out for me down the stretch in the playoffs.
That's great.
It's like, you know, man, you threw away gold.
You know, one of my friends, I'm sure a lot of the listeners know who he is. He was on our show earlier the preseason, was PK Ripper. He was telling me about when the Lions went on bye, somebody dropped Theo Riddick, and it just fell right onto his lap because he just happened to be checking the transaction log while like probably taking a shit or something, and, you know, he has Theo Riddick on his team now.
Yeah. Good for him, man. Theo Riddick's great,
yeah.
Especially for the PPR league.
That's really what a lot of people like to play.
Theo Riddick definitely dominates the Lions snaps for running backs. And honestly, Riddick is a steal. If you can scoop him up off the waiver wire at any time.
Yeah.
As long as he's not hurt.
No.
You know?
One more suggestion that I have that could probably enhance your league and make it a lot more fun. That's something I haven't been able to do because, obviously, you know, being a military member, I don't really have the time to do something like this. Do a live draft. Get together. Have some fun. Have some beers. Maybe shoot some pool or play some darts, you know,
yeah.
And have a live draft. I think that sounds like a great idea. And have, like, a different way to pick your draft order. It doesn't just have to be, like, out of a hat and pulling names kind of boring style. It could be, like, something like playing beer pong and you shoot the ball into the cup and whatever the number is on the bottom of the cup, that's what pick you have.
That's different.
You know, one league I did a couple of years ago, the NASCAR playoffs, the what is it called, the Chase? I don't know. But
yeah.
Anyways, it gets down to 12 racers. It's before the season. Usually it's before the draft happens, and we each picked a race car driver, and whatever place they finished in that race, that's what draft pick we had. That's just something different.
Yeah, I could see that.
All right. Is there anything else you want to bring up in ways to enhance your league?
No. I think we spent enough time on that topic.
This is my brolo, my El Cunado, Rafi. And when I'm gone, Rafi's the man of the house. What does the man of the house get to do, Raf?
Anything he wants to anybody at any time.
He's a convicted felon. Twice. And he's going to be staying with us. You a light sleeper? Heavy sleeper.
Heavy.
Nice. Can you just say the word yes? Just say it out loud.
Yes.
Consent. You heard it. You're a lawyer.
I'm going to go to my room. Just let me know when dinner's ready.
Okay. No closed doors. Well, I think she's pretty disgusted by you.
Challenge accepted.
Well, you should absolutely court her, Rafi.
Yeah, I'm going to court-martial her vagina with a wiener.
All right, let's jump into some Vegas picks.
I like it.
As you know, I'm a big on Vegas picks being able to help you out with your fantasy teams, because a lot of times you could use the Vegas spreads to kind of predict how the game's going to go. I know we were talking about this game a little bit earlier in the show. Minnesota's going to be on the road against Detroit. Detroit is favored by 3 at home. And, you know, Minnesota might be without Stephon Diggs. Do you like Detroit at home, favored by 3? They're giving up 3 points to Minnesota.
I feel like this game's a coin flip, to be honest. However, I'll give you a couple of fun stats that you know, might favor the Lions if you like fun stats. I mean, you pointed out Stephon Diggs being out. I think that's going to be absolutely huge. No Stephon Diggs, this Minnesota offense becomes very unintimidating considering their lack of run game and their injuries at their offensive line. But, you know, Detroit's at home. That should mean a little something. This is the first time Detroit's played at home on Thanksgiving, and it's actually meant something really in a while. I mean, both teams are 6-4. Both teams, the winner of this is going to be in the driver's seat.
I was just about to ask, do you think whoever wins this game is most likely going to win the division?
I do. I think Green Bay's done. Their defense looks pathetic. They can't stop anybody. They can't tackle. They can't cover. They've been decimated.
Barely their defense.
They've been decimated on both sides of the ball by injuries. You know it's bad when you got a wide receiver consistently playing running back. Aaron Rodgers is making excuses. He looks pouty, wimpy. They're a mess. There's questions about Mike McCarthy's job security. I think Green Bay's kind of a dumpster fire right now. I think it's going to come down to Detroit against Minnesota, and I think whoever wins this game has a much better shot, and whoever loses this game is probably going to miss the playoffs, because I don't think the second place team in this division is going to get a wild card spot.
I think there's going to be at least 2 teams in the East that are going to make the playoffs. Maybe
yeah, absolutely.
Three.
Absolutely.
I think there'll be 1 out West. There'll be Seattle. Well, I think there'll be 1 down South that could be probably, most likely it could be, Atlanta. I think Atlanta, but I was saying Tampa Bay does have a nice schedule down the stretch too. I know they kind of been up and down all year.
I disagree when you say that their schedule's good. I've seen it. I can't name the teams they play off the top of my head, but it's not. I mean, they play Seattle this week. That's going to be tough.
I mean, after Seattle, the schedule does get considerably better for them. I know weeks 14 and 16 they play the Saints, which that could obviously go either way. You know, Saints are 5-5 too, so.
They just don't play no defense, man.
No. Not at all.
But back to the Detroit, Minnesota, I think it's going to come down to whoever wants it more. And you know what? I'll take a side. You know, you can't sit on the fence, I don't think. I'll go with Detroit to cover the spread.
Detroit's been in a lot of close games. You know, I could see them covering the spread as well. I'd have to go with them.
While we're talking about each of these individual games, you think it'd be prudent to just talk about who on each team might be worth starting or sitting? That way we can knock out 2 birds with 1 stone.
Really the only guy I really feel comfortable starting in that entire game is Theo Riddick.
I'd start Eric Ebron and Kyle Rudolph.
Kyle Rudolph. I can see him having like a mediocre stat line because at least it seems like a lot of times when tight ends score against Detroit, they still only have like 30 or 40 yards, and I could see him having a line kind of like that, like 440 for the touchdown.
4 for 40 and a touchdown?
Yeah.
That's still pretty good. That's still like 14
points. I know, that's good for a tight end. That's good for a tight end.
So, you know, you wouldn't start Adam Thielen if Stephon Diggs can't go?
I mean, if you're in desperation mode, that's about it.
And you don't like Golden Tate.
Say maybe you had AJ Green and you didn't really have a lot of depth behind him. I could see then you can maybe play Thielen, but it's a desperation play.
So I'll be the first to admit I'm very biased when it comes to my favorite team, which is the Detroit Lions. I look at the injury reports a lot more for those games than I do for the other teams, and I gotta own that. Minnesota's pretty banged up on the defensive side of the ball. Terrence Newman mispractice, Sheriff Floyd mispractice, Harrison Smith mispractice, Anthony Dejo
mispractice. Harrison Smith good in coverage anyways, so.
Yeah. Apparently,
Chad
Greenway
might be better at stopping the run.
Yeah, Harrison Smith's an 8-man in the box safety for sure. I think then if some of these guys don't play Sunday, I don't know. You think? Here's an interesting stat for you, Johnny. All right.
What's up?
The last 3 years on Thanksgiving Day, the Lions scored more than 30 points, and they blew out all three of their opponents. They blew out Philly last year. The year before that, they blew out. The year they went to the playoffs, it blew out Chicago. And then the year before that, they blew out Green Bay.
Interesting. I knew about Chicago and I knew about Philadelphia. I do not remember that Green Bay game, though.
It was the year when Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's where the Lions weren't even that good, but they shut Green Bay out, actually.
It was 40-10. That was like Reggie Bush and Joy Bell both ran for 100 yards. Like, the past few years, they've come out and just exploded on people. So, you know, what if it can happen again? I mean, Minnesota has a really good defense, but I don't know.
Not so hot lately. let's go over to Pittsburgh's on the road against Indianapolis. They're favored by a field goal. You know, it looks like Andrew Luck might not play for this game. He's in the concussion protocol. And, you know, a lot of people are saying stream Pittsburgh's defense. I don't really feel comfortable doing that, but, you know, I definitely could see them running away with this game. And the over and unders at 51.5, I don't feel like they're going to hit that mark. I could see the score being something like, I could see it being like 24-10, 24-17, something like that.
I don't know. I think both of these teams are kind of disappointing, and I don't really know what to make of either. I feel like neither one of these teams really has an identity. You know,
I feel like Pittsburgh is the, you know, they look a lot. They're very similar to the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, their defense is not good. Le'Veon Bell's a stud. Antonio Brown's a stud. But other than that, fantasy wise, nobody else. They're so inconsistent. Like when they're at home, Ben Roethlisberger puts up crazy numbers, and then when he goes on the road, he gets like 15 fantasy points. So it's
you know, it's been like that for a couple years for him, actually.
And they're on the road this week, so like, are we going to see that?
That's what I'm saying. I could see them getting like around like 24 points on that Indianapolis defense this week.
I feel so bad for Andrew Luck when I think about the Indianapolis Colts, because I could just see this game. I could see this game as just a game where Chuck Pagano and them they pull some crazy crap, and they throw Andrew Luck back out there. I feel like they don't care about Andrew Luck at all. Like last year, he was playing with broken ribs, and they're not getting him help. Like he's such a good player, and he's such a nice guy, and they're just content with not giving him any help.
I know they did draft a center in the first round this past season, but they got a long way to go. Let's hypothetically say Andrew Luck's not playing. Say if you're a T.Y. Hilton owner or a Deontay Moncrief owner, are you starting them this week if Andrew Luck's not playing?
I don't think you can. I'm a Deontay Moncrief owner, and I don't think I'm going to start him. I mean,
think about when Andrew Luck, even when Andrew Luck is playing, he's gotten like a touchdown in like three straight games. But if you look into his stat line, he's only getting like 40 or 50 yards a game. If he doesn't take away that touchdown, and that could be a very mediocre day, especially if Andrew Luck's not playing. Like, if you go back to last year when Hasselbeck was the quarterback, like, Moncrief wasn't doing a whole lot.
Yeah, I think you just sit him. I mean, unless you've got no other options at receiver, which if you don't have one or two nice little guys on the bench at this point, I mean, you're kind of fucked, I think. I think you just wait it out. I feel like it's the safer, more solid route to just bench him and put someone else in. Find somebody that's got a really good, juicy matchup this week and just throw them in for a week. And you know what? If Dante Moncrief or T.Y. Hilton has a really good game without Andrew Luck, then that should just be an encouraging sign for you going forward that, wow, if he can put up these numbers with Andrew Luck, I've got a good player here that I'm going to be even more excited about.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully if you have one of those players, you are in a good situation. Say maybe you're like 7-4, 8-3, and, you know, maybe you could afford to sit them. And I'm not saying that you should, especially if you don't have any better options. But if you're sitting at 8-3 or 7-4, you probably have better options.
Yeah, you've been doing something right.
As far as the game's going, I'm picking Pittsburgh to cover this spread. But I would consider picking the under in this game.
I'm sorry, what was the spread again?
The spread, Pittsburgh is giving up 3 on the road. The over and under is set at 51.5.
So Pittsburgh's favored by 3.
Yes.
I go with Pittsburgh to cover that.
Yeah, me too.
To go to exceed winning by 3, I give them that.
All right, let's go over Cincinnati on the road against Baltimore. Baltimore is favored by 4.5 at home. The over and under is really low. It's only at 40.5. So Vegas is thinking this is going to be a low scoring game. And I tend to agree with them, actually.
Yeah, I'm definitely not going to be tuning in to see what happens.
I mean,
to put it frankly,
Cincinnati's season looks like it's done.
Yeah, such a disappointing season. Even for Baltimore, too. I think they were 3-0 to start the season, and they've kind of fallen off. I think they're at 500, or maybe they're below 500.
They're at 500, and they're in first place.
Yeah. What a,
only because they beat Pittsburgh, though.
Baltimore's favored by 4.5.
Yeah, favored by 4.5 on the road.
I hate when Vegas odd makers give someone a half a point, because it's like, it's very common in the NFL where you see a team up by 4 points at the end of the game. You see a team up to like 28-24. A team with 4 points has the ball with 2 minutes to go, and they've got to go down and get a touchdown to win the game. You know, that's not too uncommon of a situation. And by giving that half point, that really like messes up. That really like could mess up how you win or lose money if you're putting money on these games.
Yeah, I mean, Vegas is probably projecting this game to look like 22-18 in favor of Baltimore.
I mean, I could see that. I could also see Baltimore winning by more than 4.5 points because I think Cincinnati's a disaster. I don't think Baltimore's going to put up a lot of points either.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Baltimore's offense isn't really that good, and, you know, I feel like Cincinnati, they do those fucking wacky formations, and they usually come out in the game kind of hot, and then they cool off as the game goes on.
Yeah. What did you think about when Ray Lewis called out Joe Flacco and said he lacks passion? And then Joe Flacco responded to him, and then I guess Ray Lewis apologized to him on Instagram or Twitter.
I did not hear about this, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Like, apparently several days ago, Ray Lewis was just said he has no passion, and Joe Flacco was.
Well, he has every right to say that, actually, in my opinion.
I don't think Joe Flacco has passion. He's very, very boring.
I mean, if you look at the way he's been playing this year, it looks like he is playing without any passion. He's playing real flat. I think he has only one multi-touchdown game on the season. Like, he's been no good.
What did we used to always call him a few years ago? Pussy Flacco.
Pussy Flacco. Now we call him Flaccid.
Yeah. But Ray Lewis apologized to him for making those comments, and I really didn't think I didn't really think he owed him an apology. I mean, I think it was a nice gesture, but, you know, if you meant what you said, you know, you can stand by it. If Joe Flacco wants to get offended, I mean, he can get offended.
I mean, in terms of this spread, though, I do think Baltimore is going to win this game, but I do not think they're going to cover the spread. I could see them winning this game like 20-17.
Yeah, I could too.
So I had to pick against the spread on this one.
You know what? You just convinced me. I think I'm going to flip flop and go to Cincinnati. Because when the game is such a low scoring game, you know, when a game is so low scoring like that, you gotta believe it's gonna be decided by like a field goal or less.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'd pick against the spread and take Cincinnati.
Like you could see like a 16-13 game or something was boring and terrible to watch like that.
Just look at just look no further than last week. Cincinnati played Buffalo, and it was 16-12.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, is there anybody on either one of those teams that you like for fantasy football?
Yeah,
maybe not
necessarily this week, but for the rest of the season, I like Jeremy Hill based on volume alone.
The injury to Giovanni Bernard.
It's going to increase his volume a lot. And, you know, maybe if you're in some PPR leagues, Burkhead might not be a bad option to pick up because he's going to be that third down back.
So you're not really crazy about anybody from this game.
I mean, Andy Dalton's looked like shit for the past couple of weeks. I've been avoiding Baltimore players pretty much all season, although Mike Wallace, he has some good weeks. You just don't know when that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Maybe Steve Smith.
Steve Smith Sr., Baltimore's defense. That might not be a bad choice.
Yeah, Baltimore's defense, they're not bad at all. I mean, I know they've started out a lot hotter and they're starting to cool off a little bit, but they're not bad at all. Especially
every week,
offense that really doesn't have any more weapons left. So
I wouldn't even be surprised, you know, if people are listening out there and you're in a league, I wouldn't even be surprised if Baltimore's defense is on the waiver wire. It seems like every week I'm cutting my defense to find one with the most favorable matchup. And I've seen the Rams defense available. I've seen, you know, and this would be the Rams playing against like the Browns. And they'll be available.
I mean,
like how can you not like that?
I like Detroit's defense this week. I like Tennessee's defense this week.
Who's Tennessee playing?
Tennessee plays Chicago, and you're going to be without Jay Cutler.
Oh yeah, I like that.
Detroit plays Minnesota. And, you know, I like Buffalo's defense this week. They play Jacksonville. They like to turn the ball over a lot. So, and you know, Buffalo's one of the league leaders in sacks. So. I really like that matchup,
quarterback.
Too.
And Jerry Hughes can get after it.
Yeah, so, those are my four favorites.
I like all of those. I think those are good choices. I don't think you can go wrong with any of those choices.
You know, another game that intrigues me in terms of betting.
What's that?
You got Seattle on the road against Tampa Bay. Seattle is favored by 6.5 points. The over and under is 45. I could easily see Tampa Bay losing by a touchdown, you know. I could see Seattle beating them maybe like 28-20, or maybe not even that. Maybe it might be like 28-14, something along those lines.
I mean, Tampa Bay.
They've been up and down all year.
They are. They're so inconsistent. They played good at times, and then like they almost beat Oakland. They lost to Oakland in overtime. They beat Kansas City at Arrowhead. That's impressive.
That is pretty impressive.
I mean, but they beat the Panthers on Monday Night Football, which if you watch that, I feel sorry for you, but they did. they got a stud in Mike Evans. Doug Martin's back and healthy. That could help.
I think he got over 20 touches last week.
I look at Tampa Bay's offensive players. I don't think they match up very well against Seattle. So I think about Mike Evans.
I think Tampa Bay kind of struggles with physical teams too. So
I think of Mike Evans, for example. Why is he so good? Because he's a big physical guy. And you put him up against like the Cam Chancellors or the Richard Shermans, who's a very tall corner who can tackle. I don't like Mike Evans in that matchup.
Not really,
you know?
No.
I don't really like any running back that goes against Seattle. Doug Martin might be able to put up points in a PPR league because he'll probably be good for a couple of checkdowns, and he might eke in, you know, a goal line touchdown maybe.
You know, really, the only time like running backs were having good games against Seattle is when Cam Chancellor was out, but since he came back, they've been a lot better.
He's a beast. He's an absolute beast. I feel like every time I watch him, he's stripping the ball out of somebody or making like a hard hit or a crucial tackle.
Week.
Yeah, he's a stud.
So would you take Seattle with that spread, 6.5?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think Russell Wilson's a better quarterback than Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I would take that spread with confidence.
You know what, though? I will say this, because Tampa Bay is just, they're weird, man. It would not surprise me if they somehow won this game. You know, it's the NFL.
What, the NFL was a couple years ago where they performed really good against Seattle, actually?
Yes, it was the year they were terrible. It was when Seattle was their coach, I believe, and they almost won.
I think it was the year Seattle won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's the NFL, man. What the NFL is
Anything can happen any given week.
We think we know. We think we're knowledgeable football fans, and turns out we don't really know shit.
What I tell people all the time is, if you're right more than half the time, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah. What other games you got, Johnny?
We got Green Bay at Philadelphia. Philadelphia's favored by 3.5, and the over-under is at 47.5. It's kind of hard to pick Green Bay in this one, you know? I feel like Philadelphia's going to win this one easily. But I say that they'll win like 30-20 or something like that.
I don't know. I don't think either of these teams is really any good. I think these are both mediocre teams, so I think this could go either way. Philly has been a lot better.
Here's the way I'm looking at it. The way I'm looking at it is Green Bay has been really bad at stopping the pass. And, you know, Sproles is banged up. Ryan Matthews is banged up. Neither one of them might play. They're going to have to air the ball out a little bit, and that's not going to play into Green Bay's favor whatsoever. I know they don't really have the greatest receiving options. We got Jordan Matthews, and that's it. But, you know, Ertz has been turning it on lately these past 3 weeks. I think he has, like, 26 targets and 20 catches, and he scored a touchdown last week. So maybe he's turning his season around.
Every year, Zach Ertz is one of the biggest sleepers.
He's always one of the people that's in a coma. He just never wakes up. That's a position where Green Bay is really struggling defending with is the tight end. So
it is. Absolutely. I don't like Philly's receivers. But then again, Green Bay's corners, it seems like, are banged up. So who knows?
You know, I think at one point they had to use a safety at corner.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe Nelson Aguilar can beat whoever the heck Green Bay has out there.
Fuck that guy. He's a piece of shit. Like, he's not just in the sense that he's a bad football player. He is a real-life piece of shit. He has the audacity to say, oh, my drops don't matter. But then he goes and drops a pass on third down or drops a pass on fourth down, and, oh, it doesn't matter. Shrug my shoulders.
They actually say that?
Yeah.
That's silly.
Like, if that's the kind of talent that they're bringing to that team, like, Green Beckham has no chance on that team. That's the kind of attitude the receivers have.
Yeah, they're not good. Green Bay, do you like Aaron Rodgers in this game? Do you think you could start him or sit him in this game?
I mean, if you got him, you're starting him, but I wouldn't feel very hot about starting him. Just put it that way. I'm kind of neutral on him, you know. Lately, he has been having some pretty good stats, but that's because they really have no running games. So they have no choice, and he's throwing the ball 50 times a game.
And they're behind all the time. And
yeah.
And he's
so, I mean,
still
that's one thing that is working. That's one thing that's working for him. They're gonna be playing from. They play from behind more often than not lately. He throws the ball 50 times a game. He actually has some good receiving options. Davante Adams somehow learned how to catch the ball, so he's not constantly dropping it anymore. Jordy Nelson's still a touchdown machine.
He is.
You know, I think that if they can get Christine Michael going, get him activated, get him learning the playbook, they won't need to use Ty Montgomery as a running back anymore, and they can move him maybe into like the slot. Like, I mean, like having like a kind of like a rotation, like a more of a rotational player, but
I just don't. Maybe I'm a pessimist. I don't see the Christine Michael move panning out too well for him. I mean, you bring him in. We're past the halfway point in the season, and you're bringing him in. He's got no chemistry with his teammates. None of these guys know anything about him. He doesn't know the playbook. He's never played with Aaron Rodgers, and you're gonna ask him to come in and be the guy, like. I don't know. I think it might be a little bit too much on his plate.
I don't necessarily think they're relying on him very much, though. They got Starks back, who I don't really think is a very good running back either. But I don't really think Christine Michael's going to hurt Starks' value that much, though. I think the only person that Christine Michael hurts is Ty Montgomery. He's going to cut into his workload.
I really like Ty Montgomery as like a nice little flex player this week. I do. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have to get the ball out quickly, and that's going to mean good. I think that could mean good days for Randall Cobb and good days for Ty Montgomery.
I do feel like, you know, Philadelphia's pass rushers, which is one of the best in the league so far this year, is going to give Green Bay a lot of issues on that offensive line. And, you know, it could be a long day for Green Bay.
Could.
So, yeah, I do agree with the checking down, who's going to get those check downs. It's going to be like Starks on a screen. I know they like to do that a lot. It could be Ty Montgomery. You know, he only had 7 touches last game. But a lot of them were receptions out of the backfield. He did have that one touchdown that was called back. So, I mean, they're gonna have to do something, because they don't really have a tight end that can block very well either.
No, you know, Ty Montgomery's not getting goal line carries.
No.
So that's
even when they try, they tried that out and it didn't work very well. I was telling a lot of people. That first week that they used him as a running back and he had like 16, 17 touches, I was telling everyone.
It's fool's gold.
I mean, that's what I did. I picked him up off the waiver wires. I started him 1 week and I traded him for Latavius Murray.
Did he burn you when you put him in? Or were you still able to eke out a victory?
Oh, yeah, no, I won that week.
Yeah. I think that was the smart move, though. You got rid of him while he still had a little bit of value.
Well, because, I mean, I knew that Starks wasn't going to be out forever.
I don't like Starks, though. Like, what is good about him? James Starks. He tries to run to the outside on every play.
But, you know, that would be okay if he was actually fast.
I agree. Yeah. He's not CJ2K.
Yeah. Well, I think that's as far as we're going to get into it. We will definitely get more in depth with our matchup show tomorrow. Is there anything else you want to add, Rico?
I got duty tomorrow, so I won't be able to join you, man.
It's okay. You'll be with us in spirit.
Absolutely.
I hope
all I can
that
say
you have
is,
a great
thanks for having me on,
though,
man.
Yeah,
we'll
yeah I appreciate
you,
it. I hope we give you a lot of good ideas for future leagues.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm just hoping that when the playoffs come here, I can turn it on. You know what I'm saying, man?
Yeah, good luck. You're 9-2.
Yeah. I'm terrified. I'm terrified of going in there with the best record and then just laying an egg.
Yeah.
You know
last year, in our league of record, Jamie looked like he was poised to take it, and he lost in the first round.
Yeah, that sucks.
No, even worse, he lost to the 6th seed.
How's Jamie's team doing?
You know, he's been very, very, very unlucky this year. He actually has a good team. No, he actually has a good team. But he started out 0-5. He lost like 4 games by less than 10 points.
Yeah.
Like combined. Like, he lost 4 games combined 10 points or lower.
Oh, wow. Combined? So that means he lost like every week by like 2 points?
Yeah. And
who's he got on his team?
Ben Roethlisberger, Marcus Mariota. He had Ezekiel Elliott. He actually ended up trading him away in a package deal. He had Alshon Jeffrey. This is the funniest trade in the world. He had Alshon Jeffrey. He traded them. Like, it was like some kind of package deal. It was like, but he ended up getting Ware and Golden Tate or something like that.
Oh, Golden Tate's been a huge disappointment.
Yeah, so that was pretty shitty. And then, he's been picking it up as of late, though. He's on a 3-game winning streak.
That's good.
But he's still 4-7, though.
No playoff.
No, actually, he's a game out.
Ooh. And you're locked in that 4th seed right now?
Yes, sir.
Do you guys do first-round buys?
Yes, sir. I feel like I'm playing K-Mill. The winner between us, I feel like, because whoever wins between us two, I think is going to get that 2 seed as a first-round buy.
Ooh. Better bring the A game, buddy.
I have some excellent matchups, so.
Nice, man. Well, good luck to you, Johnny. And I'll be talking to you. I'll be talking to you soon, man.
All right. That'll pretty much do it for today's show. Thank you for listening, Fifth Downers. If you like the show, please give us a rate and review on iTunes. That'd be greatly appreciated. You can also catch us on Stitcher and catch us on Blog Talk Radio. If you have any questions, feel free to follow us on Twitter at the Fifth Down FF. We are always available to answer all questions, no matter how silly they may seem. Peace out, Fifth Downers.